comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 48. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, if you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do you not resist an evildoer? For if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what rewards do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Let's continue in prayer. Turn our attention towards you, O Christ, who is our Lord and our Saviour. Turn our attention towards your words. Open the ears of our hearts and our minds so that we are ready and receptive for your word. So that always we are giving praise and honour to our Lord and our God, who is here, now, present always. Amen. Thank you, Joe and Elka, for leading us with such hope on this day as we hear the continuing words of the Sermon on the Mount. A powerful teaching, well known in Matthew's Gospel. Hopefully those of you who were here last week went home and read the Sermon on the Mount, took some time to discover which of those Beatitudes that we heard of last week you may wish to pay particular attention to through the course of this season of Lent, in which we are in the second week. 100 years ago, so the story goes, a London newspaper asked several well-known public figures to write an 800-word essay on the topic, "What's Wrong with the World?" 800 words seems like it would hardly do. There's barely be scratching the surface, wouldn't we? Among those invited was the popular Fleet Street journalist G.K. Chesterton. And in response, he wrote a one-word essay. Me. What's wrong with the world? Me. A dubious beginning to a message. And perhaps not the encouraging word we might like or hope for today. What's wrong with the world? For those of you who think it's your fault, congratulations, you are correct. And yet it does not stray too far from the intent and the richness of Jesus' words as we continue reading through the Sermon on the Mount. What's wrong with the world? It's me. To not do violence, Jesus says, is not enough. Check where the birthplace of anger is in you. Not committing adultery? Fantastic. But what about how you look at women? And equally so, how you look at men. What's the language you are using about others? The problem we each need to face is, what am I desiring? When you've answered that question, the next question must be asked, why? What's happening in me that I desire this or I desire that? Each step along the road that we are making, Jesus keeps asking, yes, and why are you behaving in this way? Why are you behaving in this way? It begins not in the other, in the people you are looking or talking with. Jesus keeps asking what's happening in your heart and soul. What's wrong with the world? It's me. One of the hardest things we can do in this life is live in relationship with other people. We may do so with people we like or the family we love, although both of those roads can be built upon the time-honoured tradition of what we have in common is greater than what we don't like about each other. So there's something we all don't like about each other. Pre-marriage counselling used to start with the toothpaste issue. You know what the toothpaste issue is? People who don't look put lids back on the toothpaste. I recently heard about a post in a social media feed, and it was a photo of a bathroom sink that was covered with women's toiletries, you know, hairspray and hair dryers and straighteners and mascara and stuff left all over and bits and pieces left all over the sink. And the caption underneath was, "And the biggest issue they have with me is I leave the toilet seat up." We can put up with people we like if what we have in common with them is far greater than what we don't like about them. In his Sermon on the Mountain, as he gathers his disciples, his 12, about him and teaches them a new and life-giving way, Jesus says, you can have relationships where you use one another. You can have relationships where you keep distance and you alienate the other because they are different, or the enemy, or the one who annoys you. Or you can choose to see the truly human in one another. You have to make a choice. You can reach beyond the walls and the barriers that you think make you different. In his day, the Roman, Jew, Gentile, male, female, religious elite, the poor, the enemy, the aggressor. You can reach beyond those borders and boundaries that we think are there and live with a new integrity. You can choose to live with a new integrity, but you've got to choose. It doesn't just happen automatically. To be a follower of Christ is being able to see that I am what's wrong with the world. From anger and jealousy to living out of lies and falsehood to ignoring hurt and pain and casting about against anyone who would get in my way, I am what's wrong with the world. This is believe me, a good and positive first step. It's the most freeing and liberating step we can actually take. For when I can truly see that I am what's wrong with this world, a second step must follow. What is it about me that is wrong? So it's not just enough to say I'm what's wrong. If you truly believe that, you say, well, actually, what is it about my makeup that makes me wrong? That's a difficult step, because then you actually have to start seeing the harsh truths of who you are, and it's not very pretty. To look within and see what is broken, to acknowledge the unresolved pain and hurt that probably stretches back to generations, and it's easy to blame our parents or our grandparents or somewhere else. But again, once you see it, then you've got to do something about it. To see that I am not as complete, as whole as I would otherwise believe, this takes time. And we don't have time, do we? We've got to get on with the day. We have to do stuff. It takes time in reflection and prayer. Yeah, but I've got to go to work, Anthony, or the beds need to be made, or I've got to go here and here for this appointment. It takes time in conversation with trusted friends and elders. Well, I don't have any trusted friends. And they only tell me stuff I don't want to hear. It takes time to be honest with my mistakes. It takes time to confront my desires and see them for what they are. And often at the center, there's just somebody that's lonely and hurting and just wants some companionship and has nowhere else to go. And perhaps we think we are Christians. See, we don't think like this. We're not accustomed to thinking like this because we're Christian. And being Christian means that Jesus has died for our sin, and therefore we are forgiven. And therefore we don't need to think about what's wrong with me because Jesus has forgiven me. And thus all you do is continue in a circle of mistrust and hate and brokenness, because you'd never actually attend to what's broken inside. Because, well, Jesus has forgiven me. Yes, but Jesus quite plainly here in the Sermon on the Mountain says, you need to look at your heart. So if Jesus is telling us to look at our heart, saying we're forgiven is not enough. It is abundantly true, by the way, in case people mishear me, which happens often. Jesus has died for our sin and we are forgiven, in which case looking inside is even easier. This is why this second step of acknowledging what is it about me that is wrong is so crucial. We're in the season of Lent, which is this critical part of the cycle, the season of life of the church, to acknowledge how I am wrong. And we call that confession. We confess not only what we have done wrong, but why we have done it wrong. We take it to a loving God whom we confess and profess and proclaim as a loving God, and we say, hey, I've done this again. And we sit with our God and cogitate for a while, contemplate, meditate, pray. And this is the beauty of, see, this is the good news of following Jesus. Jesus doesn't make everything all right. He makes everything harder. And then says, but it's so life-giving. Who wants an easy path? We think it's worthwhile. It's never been proven to be true. Here is the beauty of following Jesus. Read again the Sermon on the Mount. Does he at any stage go hell for leather against his disciples, castigating them or telling them how rotten and terrible and bad they are? Nope, not once. Yes, he tells Peter to get out of his way, but that's because he was literally in his way. He doesn't tell them that they are useless, ever. He doesn't tell them that because their motives and their desires are misplaced, that they're no-hopers. Jesus says to them, you can live this new way of living here and now. And it's a beautiful thing if you do. You can choose a path of freedom and aliveness today. Yesterday, you acted with violence, or you spoke unnecessarily, or you offered more and more oaths as a guarantee when your yes would have sufficed. But today, you can choose another way. You are not rotten and terrible and bad. Acknowledge your desires have been in the wrong things. Acknowledge your desires have been built upon the wrong things, built upon false expectations and premises and ideas. Acknowledge before the Lord your God, who loves you more than you can ever imagine and know, you have desired less than what God offers. Confess and then choose another way. And this is the third step along the road. I am what's wrong with the world. I choose to acknowledge how I am wrong with the world. And then I get to choose another way. We choose deliberately another way of being who we are. This is what we've got to offer the world. It's not how bad the world is, but how good it can be in relationship with God. We who bear the divine imprint of Creator God can choose to live from that reality. This is why the second step is necessary, what it is about me that is wrong, because seeing those things, we are now free to go and live a new way. As we've just sung, in giving to all people we receive, and in dying, we're born to eternal life. From this place, we can be the salt and the light of the world. We can reconcile with our brothers and our sisters before it gets out of hand. We can forgive those who have hurt us. and ask for forgiveness from those we have offended. We choose to live in relationships with integrity and honor, even if those relationships are a power imbalance. We right the power by saying we choose to be vulnerable. We choose to serve. In relationships with our spouse and with our children and with our families, and yes, even with our enemies, which may be our spouse, our children, our families, and we all know that that's true. Forget about Russia being the enemy. Forget about somebody else being our enemy. Forget about the politicians being the enemy. That's the easy stuff. But we can choose to live in relationships with integrity and honor. Choose. Recognizing what is wrong, we choose a new way. And I'm here to tell you from personal experience, if you don't recognize what is wrong, you can't choose a new way. There simply is no way. We can walk a path of new aliveness by Brian McLaren, who writes the book, We Make a Road by Walking, has this phrase of transforming our deeper desires. And if you read through the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly the passage that Elke offered for us this morning, if you read through that and say, well, Anthony, I've got no problems with any of this. I'm not an angry person. I haven't looked at anybody lustfully for the last 50 years. My yes is yes. If somebody asks me to do more, I always give above and beyond. If you've got that down pat, fantastic. Congratulations, you are closer to the kingdom of heaven than I am. But what is it that you are desiring that may be in the way? And see, this is the hope of repentance. Repentance, you see. Protestant, in Churches of Christ, we're not great at repentance. We don't do that sort of stuff very publicly anyway. But repentance, we see where we have lived less than God hopes for us, which is great. Confess that we have lived less than God has hoped for us, which is good and necessary. We do that, that's good. And confession is simply owning up to it, taking a healthy pathway of responsibility. But the third act of repentance is crucial, and that's ask God to transform our desires. That's repentance. Repentance is not saying, this is the wrong road, and I'm going to keep walking it, and then wondering why we're still in the same road, going the same direction. That's not repentance. Repentance is saying there's another way and I choose it, and I ask that God transforms our deeper desires so that, like our Heavenly Father is perfect, we can be perfect. As Eugene Peterson offers, we can live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Do you hear that? That's how Eugene Peterson talks about perfection. We live generously and graciously towards others the way that God, our Heavenly Father, lives toward you. Amen.